This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe they said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody grateful to be in God's house this morning? So good to see so many of your faces. So good to see so many of you in worship. Truth be told, he didn't have to do it. We are sitting in a space and time that God did not have to do anything. God is not required. He's not obligated. He loves us enough. Amen. This morning, as I stand before you, it is a humbling experience for sure, but I understand that my responsibility is to get to the word of the Lord. So if you can turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. For those standing to your feet, we'll read these verses together. Rest on your feet for just a moment. Luke chapter 19. When you get there, say, I'm there. For those who are not there, it's on the screen. It reads, he entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You may be seated. I stand before you on this first Sunday of Black History Month. Reverend Allen, at one point I wanted to preach about Simon the Cyrene, the black man who carried the cross. We could have talked about any number those in the Old Testament, because after all, the setting of the biblical text is in Africa. But as I stand here before you, I'm reminded of the many strong leaders, some who are sitting in this room today, who fought to make sure we could have rights. They fought to make sure we could have unity and dignity. But it was during this fight that we, as a people, continued to turn to the scripture as our blueprint. We turned to the Lord as our liberator, the one who could bring us out, the one who could bring us through, the one who can make a way out of no way, the one who could open doors that no man could shut, the wheel in the middle of the wheel, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. the bright and morning star. These are all accolades of a liberator. One who is able to do what nobody else can do. But as we come to this particular text, sadly, many of us have been faced with a reality. Lord, I believe you can get me out, but there are people around me that don't believe you should. I believe you can do it, but there are people around me who know all the mistakes I've made. Oh, y'all looking at me real funny. Anybody in this room ever done something that you like, Lord, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Come on, let's get on the same page. Deacon Scott said guilty. Does anybody ever wish you could have got a do-over on a couple of things? I know the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but some of us, I ain't gonna point no elbows and nothing at nobody, but some of us done messed up a bunch. I know we're in church and we don't want nobody to know because they're going to look at you funny. They're going to look at you funny because they're going to say, who she thinks she is? To what I heard about her. Who he think he is? After what I heard about him. We come to our text, Reverend Easton, and we have a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. Now, I don't know if y'all know too much about how ugly a job that was, but the tax collectors are not folks' friends. I know some of us don't like the tax collector now, but during this time, it was a little different. They were extortionists. The tax collectors got to take tax from you, and they could put whatever amount on top the tax that they wanted to put in their own pocket. This is why it's so profound that Jesus had Levi running with him. That's Matthew, the one who he went. He was a tax collector. And so here it is, Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector, this hated man. The scripture also calls him a sinner. And as I was pulling together this text and working through it, I thought about a quote from the late Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman was the late theologian, pastor, mentor. As a matter of fact, the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King carried Howard Thurman's book in his briefcase everywhere he went, Jesus and the Disinherited. And in his book, he says, often to be free means the ability to deal with the realities of one's own situation. In other words, there are times where if I want to be free, I got to deal with myself. If we really going to get to where God wants us to get to, we got to deal with us. I ain't got time to be pointing fingers at nobody. I got enough to deal with me. Oh, y'all looking? I'll talk over here. We can't be, at some point you gotta say, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. And so we look at our narrative and we begin with Jesus entering Jericho, passing through, the Bible says. And in verse 2, it says, there's a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He's a chief tax collector. He's rich. Now, one would say, well, he might not need Jesus, but he got good sense. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small. Let's stop there. It's sad when people try to keep you from seeing what you need. Zacchaeus, he's okay, let me put it to you as simple as I can. He's short. He's a little dude. And because of the crowd, he couldn't see Jesus. And sadly, that's like a lot of us in church today. We got so many people that are crowding out the folk that need to see. because they don't look like we want them to look. They don't dress the way we want them to dress. Young brother come in and his pants ain't quite where we want him to have. Oh, okay. And the crowd will box him out because he's just trying to see Jesus. He don't know yet. He don't know he's supposed to take his hat off yet. He don't know that he got to pull them pants up and get a belt on yet. He hasn't had a Titus 2 experience where the older men can teach the younger men and the older women can teach the younger women. Sometimes somebody might come in this great cathedral and they might smell a little bit like last night. But the crowd can't box them out because, you smell that? Yeah, we smell it. But they're trying to see Jesus. Make way for them to see the way maker. Sometimes we're like the crowd. It's something, Deacon Scott, I was listening to a brother and he was talking about how every time we read the Bible, we always want to be the hero. We read ourselves in the text and we're always the hero, Dr. Bougie. Every time we read it, when we read David and Goliath, we're David. We never Goliath. When we read the story here that we are, we want to be Zacchaeus. We don't want to be the crowd. But many of us, we got to be honest with ourselves. Who have I kept from seeing Jesus? Who was trying to see him, but I thought, you're too small. You don't have enough. You can't see what I can see. So he's small in stature and they're keeping him from seeing. But I wonder if I have a few people who, like Zacchaeus, are like, try to keep me away if you want to. Because Zacchaeus, in the next verse, verse 4, says he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. Zacchaeus don't even know what he's going to get from Jesus, but I'm willing to look like a fool to see him. Okay. I understand. The deacons, y'all look really great in your suits, but sometimes you gotta put some of that away. Huh? And say, listen, if I need to see Jesus, I'm willing to look a little crazy to get to him. Because I need the Lord more than I need your approval. I need the Lord more than I need your attaboys. I need Jesus more than I need anything else. If you don't like me, that's fine. I need Jesus. And so Zacchaeus, do y'all know how crazy this looks? You got the chief tax collector, a rich man, running up ahead, climbing up a tree just to get a view. Just to get a view. Just to see him. Can you see it? I'm rich. But I'm not rich, not so rich that I'm unwilling to do what it takes. They're trying to keep Zacchaeus away. And Zacchaeus is like, no, I need to see Jesus more than anything. See, there's a time where your desperation gets you. And you're like, Lord, I need you more than I need anything else. There's a time where you can say, look, in a minute, when I get done preaching, I'm going to ask people to come to Jesus. Huh? It'll be your Zacchaeus moment. It'll be your time when you can come and say, look at me if you want to. In a minute, when I get done and I paint this picture before you, there's going to be people in here who are going to say, but I don't have it all together. I know, but Jesus does. And there's going to be some people who may say, not yet. You got a few more things to do. I might not have a few more days. Oh, see, because tomorrow not promised to nobody. So Zacchaeus comes and he's in the tree. It's amazing to me that his desperation is on display even though he doesn't know what Jesus is going to do. In verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. Oh, I love this verse. For today, I must, put this on the screen. Verse 5, if you can, put verse 5 on the screen. For today, I must stay at your house. Today, right now, I'm coming to your house. Not to visit. Okay. The Bible doesn't say, I'm coming to visit you, Zacchaeus. He says, I'm coming to stay. Oh, can y'all imagine how the people around? Oh, we're going to see it. It's in the Bible. We're going to see it in a minute. They was trying to keep Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus done run up on a tree. He done made a fool of himself. He looking real crazy. Rich man in a tree talking about, hey, Jesus, I just want to see you. Jesus like, come on, come here. I'm coming to stay with you. He didn't say I want to. He said I must. He didn't say I'm visiting. I got to stay with you. I got to be where you are. Jesus, wait a minute. This is the divine. This is the Son of God. This is the man. Why you got to stay with this guy? And look at what happened. He hurried down, verse 6, came and received him gladly. Verse 7, and when they, oh, it's my favorite. There you go. When they saw it. I just want to know what they name is. I wish they listed them in the scripture. When they saw it, they all. Now, we can infer a couple of things. They all. Jesus got a crew, y'all. And here's the part that we normally don't preach about this text. Peter, why didn't you speak up? Oh, it done got quiet in the tabernacle today. Huh? James, John, why didn't you have something to say? Why aren't you defending Zacchaeus? Matthew, y'all had the same profession. Why is none of the 12 defending Zacchaeus? I wish that somebody in the 12 would have told the crowd, hold on. We used to be that guy. And Jesus got us. Hold on. I wish the text would have said, Matthew would have said, hey, don't y'all be giving Zacchaeus a hard time. We used to work together. And if Jesus can save me, he can save him too. I wish Peter, who know he got an attitude problem. I wish Peter would have said, excuse me, I got an attitude problem. I'm in anger management classes. I like to pull my knife out on people. And I don't always do right. But if Jesus can fool with me, he ought to be able to fool with Zacchaeus. I wish James and John could have said, look, we didn't even want to follow Jesus, but Peter came and got us. And we only here for the ride, and you don't really see too much about us anyway. I wish they could have said, we going with you. I wish Thomas should have been able to say, I doubt everything Jesus says. And if Jesus is willing to fool with me, then of course he can deal with Zacchaeus. And some of us in this room need to be able to say, I was sinking. Deep in sin. Ha, 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 ha. Come on now. Some of us in this room need to say, I ain't always been right. I wasn't always in church on Sunday morning. Oh, come on in this room. Some of us need to be able to say, that was me. I was the one. I was the one who has not always said the right thing and done the right thing. That was me. I was the one. I ain't always been in the right places. Some of y'all have not forgotten any of those compound complex cuss words that you knew. Some of you in this room, come on now. You still keep your pistol close, just in case. It amazes me how we get 5 seconds in Jesus and forget how far he brought us. I just wanted to see the crowd. I want to know who they are. I want to see somebody stand up for Zacchaeus, but nobody did. As a matter of fact, it says they began to grumble, saying he has gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. Look at that verse. It's on the screen. He has gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. Somebody right there. This should have been a celebration. They should have looked at Jesus and went, oh, man, if you'll do that for Zacchaeus, you'll do it for me. Thank you, Jesus. We miss the moments to celebrate. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It goes on to say while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. It goes on to say, come on now, but that God so loved us that he gave. This is good news. But how in the world, in the midst of all of this good news, do we have the nerve to have a problem with the Zacchaeuses? I'm speaking to some people today, and you've come because, all right, it's Sunday. We're gonna see what's going on over there. And here it is, you here. Maybe you coming face to face with your Zacchaeus. Lord, I got a few things I gotta get together. He died for you. Okay, y'all. I got a few things that ain't right, Pastor. It ain't right. It ain't right. I still say some stuff that ain't right. He died for you. But they're gonna look at me funny. They looked at him funny. But are you willing to do what it takes to get to Jesus? Can I let y'all in on a secret? Can't nobody else's blood do what his blood already did? So why am I concerned over the opinion of people who didn't die for me? Why am I concerned? Your blood can't do what the blood of Jesus did. Zacchaeus, verse 8, stopped and said to the Lord, behold. Now, I love it. Jesus is like, I got to come to your house. Everybody grumbling. Here comes Zacchaeus. Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor. Now, we done read this man is rich. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give it back four times as much. My man is willing to make restitution. Jesus said to him, verse 9, today salvation has come to this house. Stop right there. Notice that Zacchaeus is repenting for stuff if he might have done it. And Jesus don't even ask him to pay nobody back. Jesus says, I'm going to save your whole house. Today, salvation has come to the house. Not to you, Zacchaeus, to your house. I'm about to save everybody under your leadership. See, when you hear the word household in the scripture, it's not just talking about that person's blood. Like, for instance, the house of Noah, the house of Abraham. This was all of his family, his family's family, everybody that worked for him, everybody that was in the field. The household was everybody. I want you to understand something. If you make a decision today, something can trickle into your house. Oh, you're going to have to prove that. Okay, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it in the natural first, and then I'm going to give you a verse. Here's the natural. It's called federal headship. Listen to this. If the president of the United States, who is our federal head, decides that we're going to go to war, we are at war. I'm not in the military, but we are at war because the federal head, the president, said so. Adam was the federal head of mankind. And when he messed up, we had to pay for Adam's mess ups. So Jesus came and he called himself the last Adam. Because he said, I'm about to give you a do-over for what Adam messed up. Now the beauty of that is this. The principle works in your life. Here's what the Bible says. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed go begging for bread. So that means that the decisions that you make in this room for Jesus have an effect on your children. And on your children's children, and to those who are far off. And so I know you might have a grandbaby who ain't in church today, but you can go ahead and make a decision for Jesus that's gonna touch your grandbaby. I know you might have a child that you like, Lord, bring my child back to me, but you can make a decision in this room today that will turn your child's heart back to God. I know you might have a brother or a sister who you're like, they need to come to God, but you can make a decision today to bring them back. If you make the decision, look, I'm willing to look crazy to get to Jesus. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get to the one who died for me. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get to the one who loves me more than I've ever loved myself, who cares for me more than I've ever cared for myself, the one who was willing to do what nobody else could do, even when I was a mess. He loved me. They grumbling. Jesus is ignoring the grumbles. Do y'all hear this? The people are grumbling. Jesus never says, quiet down. Jesus never rebuked them, Dr. Bougier. I want Jesus sometimes to rebuke them. I want Jesus, this is just me, maybe it's me. Sometimes I want Jesus to get them. See, y'all looking at me real funny. Y'all act like y'all ain't never wanted the Lord to get them. Can we be honest? I know. Y'all ever wanted the Lord to get them? Lord, that ain't right. Get them, Lord. This ain't going right. Get them, Lord. They done hurt my feelings. Get them, Lord. And the Lord's like, no. Sometimes you got to go through it. Sometimes you got to go through the storm. Yea, though I walk, come on, through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, Lord, I'm not going to ask you to get them. I'm just going to say, give me the strength. Give me the determination. Give me the wherewithal. They can do what they want to do. But while they grumble, I will praise him. I'm trying to see Jesus. I ain't got time to be worried about your grumbles. I'm trying to see Jesus. I don't have time to worry about your fears. I'm trying to see Jesus. Do I have anybody that is trying to see Jesus? Y'all give me a few more minutes. I'm almost done. I got to prove my point. I'm trying to see him. And I want to see him so bad that I can't get mad at you. Because if I get mad at you, that might stop me from seeing him. One day I was talking to a friend, and somebody had done something real bad to my friend. I mean, they had done something real bad to him. And we was talking, and the more he told me the story, the more fired up I got. Y'all ain't never been fired up over your friends. He told me the story, I was fired up. Ooh, I was fired up. I'm ready to ride at dawn, let's go. I'm fired up, Deacon Scott, I was fired up. And he said to me, hey, calm down. I said, no, that ain't right. He said, it ain't right, but I need too much from God to be mad at them. Change my life. My life is changed. Y'all not in here. I need too much from God. So what do I care? He climbed up the tree. It was me. He looked crazy. Sure did. I need too much from God. I need to see him. And now Jesus is like, I'm coming to your house. Zacchaeus said, hold on. Look, I'm a mess. Let me tell you, I take people's money. This is Zacchaeus. It's right there. I'll give half my possessions away. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'll give them four times as much. Jesus ignored him. He ignored that. He said, your whole house saved. Now, if the crowd was mad before, if this ain't an enemy footstool moment, if the crowd was mad before, you're going to save my whole house. What a mighty God we serve. You're going to take care of my babies. What a mighty God we serve. You're going to make sure that everybody's all right. What a mighty God we serve. You mean to tell me, in spite of me, just because I'm willing to get humble and obedient? Come on now. The Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. And so we see Zacchaeus literally walking in the loving, gracious arms of the Lord. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. But there's a clue that I need y'all to see. A clue that jumped out at the page of me to me in verse 9. Put verse 9 back on the screen for me. Because I know they were sitting up there like, who he think he is? Here it is. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because. Wait. Because. Say because. All right. He too is a son of Abraham. Wait. You're not saving him because he ran in the tree. You're not saving him because he's willing to give a big check. You're not saving him even because he was radical and wanted to make a fool of himself. You're saving him because he's a son of Abraham. Hold on. You mean to tell me that everything he's done didn't take away his sonship? How in the world are you willing to love this man like this? Because I know what's in his bloodline. He says, you got to do something for him because he's a son of Abraham. It's funny for all of my Bible thumpers in here, those who read the word, one of the last times we see this, Reverend Allen, is when the woman is bent over. There's the story of the woman who Jesus runs up and she was bent over. Literally, it means that she was bent at the waist in two. See, when we think bent over, we think she kind of was hunched. But that's not what the scripture is actually teaching us. This woman was literally bent at the waist. Imagine grabbing your ankles and putting your forehead on your shins. She's bent over, literally doubled. That's why some translations say she was bent double. And she was walking around like that. That means that her entire life was spent looking at other people's feet. My whole life, I can't even see at the level I should be able to see at. And Jesus comes to her and straightens her up. I'm going somewhere. Straightens her up and calls her daughter. And they look at Jesus like, first of all, it is the Sabbath. And you can't do that. Because we don't heal on the Sabbath. Because that's work. Jesus' response was, you untied your donkey today. Ooh, I love Jesus. That was Jesus' response. You untied your donkey today and that was work. In other words, it didn't take me no more effort. Ooh-wee. It didn't take me no more effort to heal this woman than it took you to untie your donkey. He so did say it. And then he says this that goes with our text. Watch this. He says, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be healed of this plague? So you mean to tell me that who I'm connected to gives me some rights? You mean to tell me that just because she's a daughter, she had access to something. So now I get to this man, Zacchaeus, and everybody is telling Zacchaeus that Jesus can't go to his house. And Jesus checks them all and says, hold on. He's a son of Abraham. Well, why? I don't understand, Pastor. Why does that matter? Well, the Bible tells us that Abraham was great. He's the father of many nations. The Bible says that Abraham, if you go back and read in the book of Genesis, God told Abraham, leave your country and your kindred and leave your father's house and go to a place that I will show you, and I'll make your name great, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, there was a promise on Abraham. And so when Jesus comes to Zacchaeus, he said, you cannot deny this man his promise. I don't care if you don't like him, it's a promise on him. Well, wait a minute. Well, what about me? Oh, I'm so glad y'all asked that. I'm so glad y'all asked the what about me. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm done. Galatians chapter 3, verse, put it on the screen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. What about me? For you are all, sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you, verse 27, who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither, Jew nor Greek. Mm-hmm. There is neither slave nor free. Leave this verse up for a minute. There is neither male nor female. There's neither black nor white. There's neither west side nor east side. Oh, y'all don't like this type of talk. See, all these divisions are arbitrary. And we have divided each other instead of being the body. Instead of being one body, many members, we have created an us and them. And I can't wait till the day, yes, Lord, where we can all come together and it does not matter what we look like. I know y'all can look at me like that if you want to, but here's the reality. The Lord didn't die just for one group of people. He's the savior of the whole world. Yeah, that means he's even the savior of people that you don't like. He's the savior of the whole world. He's the savior of people who live on East Third and West Third. He's the savior of the people who live on the North and on the South. He is the savior of those that live in your hood and those who don't have enough money to live in your hood. He's the savior of everybody. He's the savior of the women. He's the savior of the men. He's the savior of everybody. He's the savior of the rich. He's the savior of the poor. He's the savior of those that have. He's the savior of those that have not. He's the savior of the Ivy League. He's the savior of no college at all. He's the savior of the educated. He's the savior of the uneducated. He loves you that much. We divided people. Just like we didn't want Zacchaeus to see Jesus. It's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ. Here's our verse. And if you belong to Christ, oh, then you are Abraham's descendants. Oh, and heirs according to the promise. So wait. You mean to tell me that if I accept Jesus, then I'm a son or daughter of Abraham too? Oops. So that means that just like the woman bent over, I got rights. Okay, y'all. Dr. Bougie, I remember my title. Just like the woman who was bent over, because of who I'm connected to, I got rights. Wait a minute, I'm in the bloodline. When I give myself to Jesus, I got rights. I got a right to be whole. I got a right to be free. I got a right to praise the Lord. Yes, I do. Zacchaeus is like, look, I might have a history, but I also have rights. Yes, I do. Why do you have rights? I don't have rights because of how much money I have. I don't have rights because of all of the things that I've done. I don't have rights because I am influential in this community. I have rights because I got Jesus. Yeah. He's the only one who is able to do what nobody else can do. He is the one who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. I got rights. I don't have rights because I'm good. I don't have rights because of my education. I got rights because he's good. And anybody in this room that thinks that you are too far gone, let me introduce you to a Jesus who wants to draw you near by the blood. You got rights. I feel like I can't get there. Yes, you can. You got rights. I feel like I'm too far gone. You're not too far gone. He can seek and save those who are lost. You got rights. I feel like my past is too messed up. No. He's married to the backslider. You got rights. You got rights. You got rights. You got rights. I don't, well, what if they say, who they? Who they is? Somebody tell me who they is. Somebody tell me what their name is. I want to know their names. Because the truth, right? I hear you. The truth is, when you find out who they are, you're going to find a group of people who needed Jesus just as much as you did. You're going to find a group of people who just as messed up as you. Come on in here. Ain't nobody no better than nobody else. And somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me the right to the tree of life. I didn't have it. I was messed up. I should be disconnected from you. I should be disqualified. But the blood qualifies. But the blood justifies. But I get excited about the blood of Jesus. The blood purifies. Not mine. You cut me, I bleed. You cut Jesus, he saves. This morning I was thinking about the blood, and I'm gonna pray. Y'all let me say this. This morning I was thinking about the blood and talking through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I don't know about you, but if you know anything about the crucifixion, you will know they're ripping the skin off of the body of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
He's bleeding profusely. When you lose blood, you often lose consciousness. As your body is rapidly losing blood, you can pass out. You lose consciousness. And not only that, because of how he was fixated on the cross, he was likely choking on his own blood.
Yes, sir.
And I sat there and I thought about that. Because you mean to tell me that you love me so much that you willed yourself to stay conscious because you had a couple things you needed to do before you left here?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on. Yes, sir.
You love me so much that you made a decision. Because please understand, Jesus is fully man and fully God. So don't think that the whip didn't hurt.
Yes, sir.
Jesus loved me so much that he was like, I can't pass out because I got to say stuff like, it is finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to say some stuff like, Father, forgive them.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
For they know not what they do.
Right. That's right.
Jesus could have passed out before Pilate. Jesus could have passed out before Potiphar. He could have passed out in any of those places, but no. He said, no, let me will myself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To die at my appointed time. Because I got some things I got to do. And he did it for you. He did it for us. He loves us that much.
Yes, sir.
While we were yet sinners, he cares for us that much. And so all over this great place today, some of you are here for whatever reason you came. I want you to have your Zacchaeus moment. This is a moment, I don't care who's looking at you. Here in a moment, as we give this invitation, I want you to make a decision. Somebody might grumble. Let them grumble. Some people might say, I wonder what she going up there for. To see Jesus. Zacchaeus, he has some stuff wrong with him. Truth is, some of us, we look at who we are and we say, can't do it, God. We look at what we've done. I can't do it, God.
Well,
we look at what people think about us. I can't do it, God. You got rights, though.
Yes, sir.
Climb that tree. So today, on this day that we've never seen before, standing to your feet, I need everybody just looking forward. The deacons are coming in this invitation. Keep playing. If you recognize, I need to come. Yeah. I need to come. I need to get myself together. If you're coming, and let's be clear, if you're coming for prayer or you're coming to join this place, this is your moment.